Now, boys, I want to ask you a question this morning. Who likes playing football? Oh, wow. Maybe a harder question. Who's really good at playing football? Didn't notice much change there. And, you know, I don't have a football with me this morning. But, you know, I've got a couple of balls here. And really, you can play football with anything, can't you? Well, I mean a ball. Like, you can't play it with a square. But you can play, as long as it's a ball, you can play football. So I have three balls here this morning. I mean, I thought I was going to show off my juggling skills. But I don't have juggling skills, so there was nothing to show off. But, you know, so you can kick this around, you can do whatever you want to do. And I'm sure all of us, maybe years ago or currently, we all have balls like this around our home that we kick about, we throw about, and really it's a good toy to have. And, you know, what's the golden rule when you're playing with something? What do you think the golden rule is? What's the golden rule? Well, that is the first golden rule. Don't smash anything. Well, David, you'll be happy to hear I'm not going to throw these today. Let's move on to our second golden rule. Second golden rule. Oh, right. We're being very specific now. Yes, that is another golden rule. Don't kick a football directly in someone's face. I hope that doesn't happen. But the golden rule, really, I was thinking of two golden rules. Those are all good rules. But I was thinking of two golden rules. Number one, share. Because what is sharing? Sharing is? It's almost as if that was practiced. Sharing is caring. Okay, so we have to share because actually, do you know what? Football's not very good on our own, is it? You can kick it up against the wall, but the wall gets a bit boring after a while. And if you miss the wall, you are the one that has to run after it. Whereas if there's someone else there, they have to go running after it if they miss it. So sharing is caring. The second golden rule of playing with any toy, be it balls or not, is to tidy it away. Do you know that rule? No. Well, I'm going to teach you that rule this morning because whenever you bring, and by the way, the girls, this is for you as well. Whenever you pull out your toys, they need to be tidied away. We need to tidy away our toys whenever we get them. And who here remembers Scott from BB? Scott left me a box. And in that box was all kind of fun things. And in that box was a way of tidying our toys. Particularly balls like this. So, let me bring this up. Here we go. So this is Scott's way of keeping our balls nice and tidy. So what you do is you simply store them in the box and, you know, you'll see them just like that pop in. Okay? So, what color will we go with first? Oh, I heard red first, so we'll pop red in. Next one. Green. Next one. Yellow goes in. Great. Fantastic. So what do we have? We have red.
Green. Yellow.
I didn't cheat. If you're going to blame anyone for this, it's Scott. So, right, this is interesting. Hold on. I know where it is. Is it there? Right, we're going to have to try this again. Now, what color will we go first?
Red.
What color next?
Green.
What color next?
Red.
What color was that?
Yellow.
No, we can't find the yellow. That's the problem. So it was red, green, red. There's something strange going on here. Do you know what? Scott was an American. That's what it is. He was an American. I'm so sorry for anyone here who's American or watching online. We don't generally brand you all like that. Okay, we're going to have to go again one more time. Let's see. Okay, what are we going to do first? Red? Green? The yellow's still missing. I don't understand what's going on at all. So, this is a bit of a problem. You see, we think we've got something in order, but it turns out it's not. I don't know. I mean, I think the word that I have for it is, it's amazing. But the order we thought it was in, it turned out it wasn't in. Because what did we think this should be? We thought it should be red, green, yellow. But we've lost our yellow ball again, even though we had it at the start, and now we've ended up with two reds and one green. You see, we think we have things in order, but they're not. And you know, that is what happened in our Bible story this morning from Matthew's Gospel, the story of Jesus walking on the water. You see, it had been a very busy time for Jesus. Jesus had just learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been killed. And he wanted to go away and be on his own, but he couldn't because the crowds were following. Jesus was so popular, the crowds just kept following wherever he went, and he could not be on his own. And actually, that's how our Bible passage started. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. That means a place where no one else was. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him. Jesus wanted one thing, but he couldn't do it because the people followed him. And you know, it said that Jesus had compassion on the people. They were hungry. It was getting late at day, in the evening, and then Jesus had to feed them. And that's the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Over 5,000 men, women, and children were fed by Jesus. Jesus was absolutely exhausted. And what he did was he sent his disciples off across the Sea of Galilee, which we call the lake, to the other side. Jesus was going to dismiss the crowd, and then Jesus was going to have some time on his own. Now, Jesus did have some time on his own, but the problem is, as Jesus was on his own on the mountainside looking down in the middle of the night, there was a wind blowing, and there was a storm coming on the lake, and the boat was quite far out with Jesus' disciples in it. And here we have Peter standing out looking on the boat going, there's a storm, what are we going to do? Now, these are fishermen. They should know what to do when there's a big swell on the lake. This is the lake that they fished on. They should have known what to do. They shouldn't have been afraid. So this means it must have been a storm unlike anything they'd ever experienced before. And they were frightened. And we're told that this is about 3 o'clock in the morning, somewhere between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock, the fourth watch of the night. And as the disciples are looking out going, what are we going to do? They see someone coming. They see a figure and they think, it's a ghost. But it's actually Jesus who walks on the water to them. What happens when you walk on water? If I was to take you down to the harbor right now and we were to shimmy down the ladder, what's going to happen as soon as you touch the water? Ada. Well, you're going to fall in. Well, we'll settle it at that. Anybody here ever walked on water? Well, no, that is amazing. I don't mean a puddle either, but really none of us can walk on water. But yet here was Jesus. And as the disciples looked out, they couldn't believe it. That's why they declared, it's a ghost, it's not real. But immediately Jesus said to them, take courage. It's I, don't be afraid, you know me. And this is when Peter comes and says, well, Lord, if it's really you, call to me and I'll come out to you. It looks like Peter knows exactly what he's doing. Because Peter actually gets out of the boat. He looks at Jesus and he starts walking towards Jesus. And he's walking, but then there's a problem. He sees the wind, we're told. So if he's looking at Jesus walking towards him, to see the wind, he either has to look to the side of Jesus or beyond Jesus. And all of a sudden he gets frightened. And he's no longer walking on water, but he's sinking. Now, if you were sinking in water, what would you do? You'd cry for help. You'd cry for, well, you might swim, but you might cry for help as well as you were swimming. And that's what Peter does. Peter says, Lord, help me. And Jesus reaches down and he lifts Peter's hand to lift him out again. See, boys, and indeed everyone here this morning, this is an amazing story for quite a number of reasons. It's actually a story where Peter says all the right things. There's a moment where he believes that it is Jesus and not a ghost. But there's also a moment when he realizes that he needs Jesus the most. And he doesn't cry to the other disciples to help him. He knows they can't help him. And so he calls to Jesus, the only one who can help him. You see, Peter got things in a bit of a funny order. He thought he was looking to Jesus, but he wasn't. He was really looking at the wind. And so he got it all out of sync. It didn't go in the order that it should have gone in. Rather, Peter was looking at the trouble around him and taking his eyes off Jesus. But the proper order should have been that he looked only to Jesus and to nothing else. Peter should have kept walking on the water towards Jesus. And when he was at Jesus' side, then he could have looked around and seen the storm. But no, as he was going to Jesus, he looked around, and that's when he started to sink. See, what we learn about this story is that Jesus is good and Jesus is kind. That tells us that Jesus will hear us when we call out to him to help us. Because Peter did do the right thing. He called out to Jesus to save him. And this is what we read later in the Bible. In Romans 10 and verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the truth is, we all need to be saved. Boys, we all do. We all need to have our sins forgiven, because the sin are the things that we do that go against what God wants for us. That's what sin is. It's disobeying his best for us. And so we can easily get our lives in the wrong order. We can focus too much on other things and not on Jesus. And so all of a sudden, just like our balls ended up in the wrong order, our life can get ordered wrongly as well. And I wonder, do you have Jesus in the right order in your life? Do you trust him as the only one who can save you? Don't let other things be more important than Jesus. Know more in your head and your heart about Jesus than the makes and specifications of tractors. Know more in your head and heart about Jesus than football scores and statistics. Know more in your head and heart about Jesus than the speed and mechanics of cars. I'm not saying don't pay attention to those things, but don't allow them to be in the wrong order. Know your footballers, know your cars, know your tractors. Green ones, I hear, are very popular. Know them, but don't know them more than Jesus, because a tractor won't save you. A football won't save you. And a car won't save you. Only Jesus. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Boys, I wonder for you and for everyone else here, will we have the right order in our lives? Will we put Jesus first and then let everything else come second? Because if we don't trust in Jesus, then we can't be saved. And we must trust in him, because he has the best life possible for us. Because he is good and he is kind. So let me pray for us as we think of these things. Our Father God, we thank you for our time together this morning of what we learn about you, what we learn to be true, that we place you first in our lives, that we don't get things muddled up or mixed up, but that we will have the right order, and that is Jesus first. Thank you that Peter eventually learned that lesson, that Jesus was first in his life and he spent the rest of his life telling others about the truth of the gospel. And so for each and every one of us here, may we put Jesus first. Thank you that Christ is calling us to trust him. Thank you that today he is calling us to believe in him, that we too can be saved and not sink into the dark waters. And so may he be first for each and every one of us as we continue to live in this world, waiting for when he will come again. So hear us as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.